Are you ready for the word tonight? Turn in your Bibles to 1 John. Now, we started this study of the book of 1 John last week. I don't know that we'll make it all the way through the book in this series, but we're starting out going through it, and we'll see how far we go until God redirects us. But we made it through chapter 1 last week, and what we found out is I believe of all the books of the Bible, no book really reveals the Father's heart, even how a father is supposed to operate, more than 1 John. Amen. It's a book written by the Apostle John, who was the one, if you remember, that would lay his head on Jesus' bosom. He was considered the youngest of the disciples, it's believed, but lived to be the oldest. So it's believed he lived into his 90s at least. When he wrote the book of Revelation, he's believed to have been in his 90s. 1 John was probably not long before those. And so we're talking about a man that's been in ministry potentially for 70 years when he writes these books, and he has a heart of a pastor, the heart of a father. Where Paul wrote much more prophetically, John wrote more pastorally. And we see in here, as we started looking last week, through John we have a first-hand eyewitness account of the teachings of Jesus, how many know the perfect one. So let's start in verse 1 again and just get a running start where we start next, or this time. Verse 1, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. Now, this is what I find this so intriguing. We're reading the writings of man that knew Jesus. This is not a secondhand account. He says, we handled him. He was the word of life. We handled him. We saw him. We knew him. Jesus spent 3.5 years training this group. And so, what an opportunity. I mentioned last week, if you had the opportunity to speak to somebody or hear for somebody that actually had a visitation of Jesus, would you want to hear about it? Everybody said, absolutely. Well, here we go. This is a man that more than visited with him, he virtually lived with him during his earthly ministry. And so, we're hearing firsthand account of the heart of the Father. Verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. We saw the one the Father sent. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. The word fellowship there in the Greek is the word koinonia. And it means more than just getting together and having some fun or having, you know, a good time, spending some time together. It's more than a Super Bowl party. The word koinonia means a partnership with. We're in partnership together is what John was saying. And truly our fellowship, our partnership is with the Father and with His Son and with Jesus, His Son Jesus Christ. Do you understand you're in partnership with God? If you are born again and going after Him, you're in partnership with God. And these things write we unto you that you, your joy may be full. Now we spent some time speaking about this last week. But you can never really know joy in life unless you're walking with God. We were made in His image. And unless God's in you and He's influencing your life and you're fellowshipping with Him and He's directing your life, you can never know really joy. Never really know joy, right? It's almost like having a battery-controlled toy that you built for D-cell batteries and you never got any batteries. It's just not going to do right. Amen. And we were created for God to come inside of, to inhabit, and for us to know Him. And things will not work properly until you do. And most people have such a hard time with that mindset, with that concept. What do you mean? I can never know happiness without God in me. Because you were made for that. How can... I don't need God. You just don't know how much you do. And you can struggle through life, you can flounder around, But until you make Him Lord of your life and you follow Him, you are going to be, to some level, miserable. And fluctuating between what you think are fun times and fun times, when in fact they're probably taking you down a pit leading to disaster. Verse 5, this then is the message which we have heard of Him. Oh, isn't that powerful? He's saying firsthand, this is what He told us. Here's what Jesus instructed us. And declare unto you, we're telling you this, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. In other words, you can trust God. He's not going to lie to you. He's not going to deceive you. He's not going to pull the carpet out from under you. If God says it, He's going to do it. He is the very definition of light, the definition of love, right? And so, what is the most ridiculous saying that any person will ever say is, I'd like to become a Christian, but I'm having too much fun right now. Or maybe when I'm done having fun, then I'll become a Christian. That's like saying, I want to walk around blind, but when I've walked around blind and had so much fun walking blind, then I'll allow myself to have sight. I ran that life. I didn't get saved till I was 30. I did just about everything you can do. Now, not as much as some of you, but I did a whole lot of it. And I tell you what, I have never known fun and excitement and opportunity like I have since I came to know Jesus. What a shift, what a quantum shift in life fulfillment. All I did was search for one other party, one other good time. Amen. And all I did was get in one more mess after another mess. Going down a spiraling path that was going to end up in misery. But now I get to ascend up the stairway to agape. Amen. And moving more and more into the love of God. God's blessed us. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You cannot continue in sin and say you're fellowshipping with God. And right now there's so many deceiving spirits out there that say you can. So people out there sinning willfully, running with the world, getting drunk, partying around, drugging, sleeping around, and then they come to church and say, yeah, God told me this. No, He didn't. You are not fellowshipping with God, living intentionally in sin. All you're hearing is get it right with God and get to church. The Bible says what fellowship has light with darkness. The Holy Spirit is not going to be active in your life, living an intentional life of sin. Amen? I don't believe all that. Well, I just read it to you. You cannot walk in darkness and say you have fellowship with God. Why? Because He is light. He's going to illuminate to you the things that you're doing. I just don't like the way you preach. I understand that a whole lot of people don't like the Word of God. Right now we're just reading the Word. Could be the devil and some people don't like it. We get to enjoy this. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light. How many of Jesus walked in the fullness of the leading of the Spirit of God? We have fellowship one with another, not just with God, but with each other. God will deliver you from spirits of rejection, spirits of fear, offense, strife. He'll cause you to fall in love with each other. We love each other in here, don't we? Amen. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The blood works to cleanse us when we walk in the light. Wait a minute. What do you mean you have sin when you walk in the light? I thought the one that walked in the light didn't walk in darkness. Well, you're still going to make some slip-ups. Amen, but you're not targeting slipping up. And when you're targeting going after God, right, you're walking not after the flesh but after the Spirit, there's no condemnation. The blood continues its cleansing work. You just can't continue to try to live with the world and think it's gonna produce. Not according to what John wrote here, and he had the heart of the Father. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, it's another ridiculous statement to say, well, I've been saved and I can never sin again. You're going to sin again. However, if you're going after God, you're not a sinner. But there's a mindset out there that you can get saved, and because you're now saved, you can never sin again. Any sin you commit is automatically covered by the blood, and God can't see any sin you ever produce again. That's not true. The blood only works where there's intention to walk fully after Him. Amen. And you're not trying to play the God and, you know, as a sucker and take the blood as a happenstance or cheap payment for your sin. If we confess our sins, talking about the one that walks in the light, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now see, again, there was a lesson I learned years ago, and it took me some effort to be able to say it. But I can now freely say that I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I can say, oh Lord, help me. Help you follow what I'm about to say. I am as righteous as Jesus. Because I'm going after the light, the blood continues to cleanse me. And even when I make mistakes, even when I stumble, because I'm going after the light, are you following with full intention? The blood keeps me cleansed, and I stay in right standing with God fully. And by the way, my heart stays righteous because Jesus made a great exchange with me. He took my sin, amen, and gave me His righteousness. I have inside the divine nature. There may be sinful actions take place on the outside at times, hopefully not intentionally. But inside, in my spirit, man, I'm recreated a new creation in Christ Jesus. I am made righteous, right? So here He says, He is faithful and He's just to cleanse you. So if you're going after God and you've made a mistake and you say, God, I repent. And you keep hearing a voice saying, you're just not worthy. Why would God bless you? That is not God's voice. That's the voice of the enemy condemning you. Because hear this word said, He's faithful and just to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Once you repent, God says, I don't even see it anymore. And He wants you to leave it behind as much as He wants to leave it behind. Quit reminding God of mistakes you repented for. Amen. And quit letting the devil tear you down because of them. Verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. See, these verses seem to contradict each other. In other words, in one verse He says, don't say you haven't sinned. But another verse says, if you walk in the light, you don't walk in darkness, which would represent not sinning. Right? Well, what He's saying is the blood is going to be necessary in your life. No one is going to walk a pure enough life not to need the influence of the blood. Amen? I don't care how much you want to walk perfect, you're going to do or say the wrong thing eventually. And probably won't take a few hours into the day. You're going to make a mistake potentially. But the Bible says He's faithful to cleanse you of all unrighteousness. What John is trying to get across to us is never come to the position that you're so haughty and think that you're above sin now. If any man says he has no sin, the truth is not in him. We pursue perfection. But when you think you've arrived, you've already stumbled. Amen. And so we have to make sure we do not allow ourselves to fall into the trap of pride. Amen. And we maintain a genuine humility toward one another and of our need for the blood ourselves. And of course, that attitude will also keep you from judging other people unrighteously, improperly. Now let's start at chapter 2 tonight. So far we've been in review. Chapter 2 verse 1 says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. Now here John says, my little children. Now we're going to read about really four classes or four, ranges of spirituality in this book. John is going to be Grandpa John. In other words, John is up in years by now. He is the grandfather of the church. He's the only remaining elder as far as the original 12 left in the church. And so he's like Grandpa John. Then he's going to address fathers in the church we're going to look at, which will be ones that have reached elder-type status that are leading the young in the church. And he's going to talk about young men that have been saved a while and they're progressing in their calling, but they're not yet reached father status. Then we're going to look at little children. Well, here he uses the term my little children. The word children, there's the word technon in the Greek. It means infants. But in actuality, he's not speaking to baby Christians. He's speaking to the entire church. When we see this word many times, technon, appear, it's referring to the relationship between a mentor and the disciples, between a leader and those that he is leading. So it's like the term my flock, my little children. He's talking about those within the church. So there is no question that this book is written to Christians. I say that because, again, there's a move out there to try to say that you can continue sinning once you're saved intentionally and God can't see it. And they try to claim that 1 John was not written to the church. It was written to everybody. That's not true. Because my little children declares that it's written to Christians. Do you see this? So he's my little children. He's addressing them as a father to his offspring. These things write unto you that you sin not. What's our goal? To sin not. To live in holiness, to live in purity, to live in power, peace, right? To live in the anointing. But he says, and if any man sin, again, he's going back to what he said. We target perfection, but you're going to make mistakes. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Now, this is Father God, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Here he says, Jesus is our advocate with the Father. Now, what's an advocate do? Speaks on behalf of someone, right? Speaks on behalf of and in favor of someone. And that advocate always tries to present your favorable attributes. And here it says that Jesus is our advocate. He's our spokesman. Now listen, I personally don't believe that Jesus is up in heaven every time you make a mistake going to the Father. You know, I just want to speak on behalf of Him. I don't believe you need anybody speaking to the Father when you make a mistake down here. Are you following me? Because the blood continues to cleanse you anyway when you live in right standing. What makes Jesus the advocate with the Father is the blood. The blood Christ shed stands as the payment or the propitiation for our sin, and it becomes our advocate. Amen. Now, I've heard stories of people that have had visions or dreams of the final judgment. See, the white throne judgment, where people come before God and lay their case out, or even the Bema seat, lay their case out before God. And on one side, the devil's arguing for condemnation. But when the devil says, here's all they did, Jesus said, yes, but I covered that with the blood. So there could be coming a day someday where Jesus steps forward and says, for every one of us, yes, but I pay for that with my blood. And he will be the advocate on our behalf. But right now, the blood is standing as payment for the sin we've committed, right? Verse 2, and he is a propitiation, or the payment, or the standing for our sins. Not for ours only, but also the sins of the whole world. Now here we have a phrase, and also the sins of the whole world that some people get off track with. Again, there are some doctrines out there that say that God's going to save everybody. And of course, they will use a verse like this to back that up. Jesus paid the price for the sins of the whole world. Yes, he did. But you gotta go collect on it. You have to confess Him as Lord and Savior and walk in the light as He is in the light for this payment to be fully activated in your life. And I want to throw this in because I believe we really have a bad recognition of what it takes to be saved. Scripture says if we believe in our heart, confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, we shall be saved. So we have a whole lot of people think, I can just go witness on the street and get people to confess Jesus Christ as Lord, and they're saved. When in fact, there's a whole follow-on set of responsibilities to walk in the light. It's more than just saying a poem, and there's a whole lot of people out there that are going to end up in hell because somebody told me that you confess Jesus, you're saved, it's fine, and they're living like they always lived. And that does not line up with the rest of Scripture. Amen. Now, I do believe in deathbed confessions. I do. And I do believe if you confess Jesus Christ sincerely, you'll be saved. But there's a necessity. You follow through in walking with Him. Amen. Because when you confess Jesus, He's not just your Savior. He's got to become your Lord. And what does the Lord do? They rule. You've got to let Him become ruler of your life. Let the Holy Spirit be your guide. Amen. Verse 3, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Wow. Now that seems like such a non-threatening verse. Hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. But if we really look at the verse, what are some alternatives we could put in that we think maybe should have been what it said? Hereby we know that we know Him if we confess Him as Savior. That would seem to make more sense to most Christians. Hereby we know that we know Him if we hear His voice or know His voice. Amen. It doesn't say that. Because there's many voices in the world. Hereby we know that we know Him if we go to church and we like the sermons. Doesn't say that. In fact, what an unusual statement. Hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Why would following a set of regulations or commandments be evidence that you know Him? Because there were a whole bunch of people in the Old Testament following the Old Testament commandments didn't know Him. Amen? Even Paul, before he was saved, said he kept the commandments. Now, he said flawless, but we know there's none without sin. Right? So, there's no evidence that following a set of rules would be evidence that you know Him. But now we need to break this down. In fact, we'll see it as we get a few more verses. We need to break this down and look at what does it mean to follow His commandments from a New Testament standpoint. In the Old Testament, they walked by the law. Remember the Ten Commandments? But there weren't just ten. There were hundreds and hundreds of commandments. I mean, commandments covered everything from, resting on a Sabbath to you can't eat meat and dairy boil a lamb in his mother's milk, not eat meat and dairy. That's what they passed it on to. But that you couldn't, slay a lamb and then cook it in the milk of the mother. Well, what's that got to do with anything? Well, the best understanding we have is just kind of heartless. There were commandments. You couldn't wear garments of mixed fibers. So you couldn't wear a wool and polyester blend jacket. Amen. What you could sow in your field. I mean, there were just so many rules and laws. What you could eat, what you couldn't eat. And we know that Jesus came to fulfill the law. Right? He came to fulfill the law. And Scripture makes clear we're no longer bound by that law. Amen. Unless it's repeated in the New Testament. I'll get back to that in a few minutes. But for us, we no longer follow a set of written commandments. Right? I mentioned Pastor Tony a while ago. Remember me talking about Pastor Tony from London? He'd been a different, I mean, he's 70 years old. He'd been in ministry for a long time. And he'd come out of some different religious denominational backgrounds before he got into Charismania, you know, 20 or so years ago. And he started coming to our pastor's meetings. And we have fun. We found we can have fun in church. And so we would have somebody reading in our pastor's meeting, there's the apostle and everybody else. And we start teasing about their reading. If somebody makes a mistake, it's over. I mean, it's like sharks on blood. It's like, you need my giant print or, you know, whatever. And Pastor Sherry was reading when he was just first in there. And she was reading something that was just very humorous based on a story she'd already told us. Won't go into that. And everybody starts teasing her while she's reading. And right in the middle of it, Pastor Tony speaks up. He says, "I have never seen such frivolity in the reading of God's Word." But now he does it. So we can have fun in church, right? And so we don't follow a set of written commandments. I said that, didn't I? We follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. So we could say in this verse, John could have written it, that we know that we have fellowship with Him if we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. But he didn't say that. He said if we keep His commandments. However, His commandments now, in New Testament days, are not the old law. It's the New Testament commandments to us. Amen. It's the Word in light of the Holy Spirit. The point being, as John was trying to get it across, because there's so many flaky voices out there, if you are not following God's directives for your life, there's no way you're hearing the right voice is what he was saying. We know we really have fellowship because fellowship requires a voice. He's saying you really know you're in fellowship with him if what you're being instructed with and what you're following with is in line with the Word of God. Do you see this? So, obedience is required to maintain fellowship. And this nonsense, you can go out and sin all you want and it has no impact on your life. Live like you want to live and stay in fellowship with God. I'm talking about how you just walk in His love. You are deluded and deceived. Because the Word here declares it. He that saith, "I know Him," and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now the Holy Spirit would represent the truth, wouldn't it? And here it's saying the Holy Spirit's no longer there, the one leading. If the truth is not in him, the Holy Spirit's not in him. Another voice has taken over. Now, I'm not saying they may not be saved. They could be, you know, but they're listening to the wrong voice. So when you say you're in fellowship with God, you know Him, you're in partnership. But you're not walking in alignment with the Word. You're deceived and a liar. That's some serious speech. But did you know what? I see it all the time. Now, this may go out to some of the biker churches. I don't know who's going to listen to it. I'm going to use it as an example because I see it. I've seen it quite frequently, is there's a move of Christianity through the biker churches. Some of it's very serious, very real. I mean, Little Wolf, what a man of God. What a man after God's heart. Right? Preacher man, after God. But you see a lot of biker churches, biker church or whatever, and they'll be living like the world, living like they did before, but just confessing Jesus Christ and believing everything's okay. And if you're not making a lifestyle change, it's not okay. If the all-powerful Creator God comes into your life and into your heart and there's not a lifestyle change, something's wrong. And somebody's lying. But we think because we can sing some happy songs and sing about the blood, that we're in fellowship. If your walk doesn't match the word, deception has taken place. Is this okay with you tonight? I know it's not a popular message. I wish it was. Just say a poem and we're all going to heaven. But I've got to go with the word. Here's a man after God's own heart. But whosoever keepeth his word. Here it is. Now what did we say his commandments were? His word. Right? Whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Now this is part of my book on love. Are you following me? Is that you've got to be a person who obeys the leading of the Spirit for love to be perfected in you. And of course, that's the Holy Spirit's target for your life. We're to walk in the image of Christ, right? And God is agape. We'll see it in this book, chapter 4, right? God is love. So the Spirit of God who wants to take you into perfection, wants to take you into fullness of walking as Christ, has got to take you into walking in love. So when you're following the leading of the Spirit, which is going to match the Word, He's taking you into perfecting love in your life. So again, if you get saved and you stay mean-spirited, something's wrong. You stay unforgiving, there's a breakdown in your obedience with Him. You stay vindictive, vengeful, hateful, spiteful. Something's disconnected. Amen. So as we go from faith to faith, we go from glory to glory, which means we go from level of love walk to level of love walk. We don't sound very loving right now. I'm loving you enough to tell you the truth. You're not going to end up in hell and say, Pastor Jack didn't tell me. Amen. Says the love of God is perfected. Hereby we know that we are in Him. How do we know we're in Him? Love's being enhanced. Now see again, here we have some of this flaky grace doctrine. I just follow God and I walk in love. And, you know, God can't see my sin, so I can do what I want to over here, but God can't see my sin, I just walk in love. Well, they're saying that if they walk in love, you know, they're in fellowship, but they're leaving out that word part. You can't walk in love and not follow the word. You can't walk in love and not be obedient to the Spirit of God. Are you ready for this? Verse 7, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you. Now look, we're going to let this sink in for a minute. I'm not writing you a new commandment. Well, wait a minute, Pastor Jack, didn't Jesus fulfill the law? We're not under the law anymore? That's really what John's referring to is the Old Testament, the old law. He's saying, I'm not writing a new law unto you, but an old commandment or the old law, which you've had from the beginning. And that's a deep thought right there. Those who want to throw out the whole Old Testament. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. So he's saying, John has this interesting way of writing. Verse 7, he says, I'm not writing you a new commandment. Right? But look at verse 8. Again, a new commandment I write unto you. Huh? Does everyone want to make your head spin a bit? Should we make this plain? Again, a new commandment I write unto you. Which thing is true? It's the truth. I'm writing you some truth. It's a new commandment.
in him and in you,
because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He's saying, I'm not doing away with the old. I'm letting the light shine on it and make it anew. Do you follow me? We're revealing the old through the light that Jesus brought and is making a new commandment for you. See, we understand a lot of the law was actually a typology of Jesus coming. Remember the burnt offerings in Leviticus chapter 1? Chapter 2? The sin offerings, the trespass offerings, the peace offerings, the meat offerings. Those were all types of Jesus' sacrifice at the cross. Leviticus chapter 14 talks about the sacrifice or the payment for leprosy. That if you were healed of leprosy, I believe it was, that, I'd have to go there and read it. You would take pigeons or doves, and you would transfer blood from one to the other, and that was a type of Jesus taking away sin. The scapegoat, a type of transfer and release of sin. Nehushta, the brass serpent on a pole, was a representation of Jesus taking away all your sickness. That when Jesus was nailed to the cross, Satan was actually the one nailed, attached to the pole. The light of the Holy Spirit shining on the Old Testament brings forth to us a new commandment. And that commandment is we're no longer led by a set of written rules, but we're led by the Spirit of God that we have fellowship with. If we're still bound by the Old Testament, we're all in trouble. I mean, I could look at the tags on your clothing right now and see if you're going to hell or not. You have mixed threads or mixed fibers in your garment. There were so many intricate laws about diet and everything else. Has anybody eaten any catfish in the past? See you, bye. Shrimp, no hope for you. You've broken dietary laws. How about cleansings? How about washing? My goodness. How did you wash those pots that you cooked with? How did you wash your hands before, you follow me? There were so many laws about this. But they were all representation, amen, of Jesus taking away sin. Some of the dietary laws were for our own health. But in Acts, it lets us know that God gave Peter a vision with every kind of unclean beast coming down from heaven. And God said, kill and eat. And he says, I've made all that clean now. We're not under dietary limitations anymore. But no, if you eat Snicker bars for every meal, you're going to have some problems. Or probably catfish. You know, there's a whole movement within Christianity, or, a whole sect that won't eat ham, won't eat pork. Can't eat pork. It's forbidden in the Old Testament. Well, it's not in the New. And you want to know something? It used to be really ridiculous or stupid to eat pork because what a hog ate went on his bones within hours. And they were raised in unclean conditions. They had trichinosis and everything else. Those pigs could transfer. But it's not like that in America anymore. I think trichinosis has become very rare now. And pork is not as unhealthy as it used to be. So I'm eating ham and barbecue pulled pork and me some ribs, baby back ribs. Amen. We have to go eat afterwards, right? And so we're not bound by all these do's and don'ts of the Old Testament. However, we're still bound by the spiritual principles. Amen. Many of them are repeated in the New Testament. One of the commandments, remember the Big Ten, the Ten Commandments? One of them was to honor your father and your mother. Well, it's repeated in the New Testament. In fact, it said, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with the promise that you live long and to go well with you in the earth. So not everything's done away with. In fact, you want to know what becomes a commandment for you? What God tells you. He told me 31 years ago not to drink coffee. After drinking it all of my life, don't drink coffee. I didn't drink it for, I don't know, a year or two. And I thought, oh, that couldn't have been God. Coffee's so good, I started drinking it and started getting migraines. Open the door. Amen. So I whipped the migraines and I quit coffee again. And if I was to drink a cup and it was in something, fine. But I'm not going to disobey and go intentionally drinking a bunch of coffee. You follow me? What God tells you becomes His word or commandment to you. But here's the amazing thing. A whole lot of people will say, well, we've been delivered from the law. We don't have to follow a bunch of laws anymore. We're not bound by commandments anymore. Well, are we in agreement with it? If it's in the New Testament, it's still a commandment? Did you know that in the New Testament, there are over 1,000 commandments? Who'd have thunk it? I went to a website today. I went through the Bible one time, starting to write down all the commandments. And I was writing so many pages that maybe somebody has done this search already. I looked up, and sure enough, they had. I said, I know enough not to have to duplicate their work. So I went to a website, 1,050 New Testament commands. Can I read through some of them just to give you an idea? 7 abstains, and about things it says to abstain from. Idols, and all these are out of the New Testament. Fornication, I mean, that was a big one with the heads of the church. Strangled meats, eating blood, meats offered to idols, all appearance of evil. Fleshly lusts. That's a commandment. 7 things to avoid. Troublemakers. Profane and vain babblings. False science. Unlearned questions. Foolish questions. Genealogies. In other words, basing your righteousness based on who your parents were. Well, grandma saved and I go to her church. You're in trouble. If that's all you're banking on. Arguments about the law. 3 asks. Ask and you shall receive. Ask no return of goods. Ask life for backsliders. 2 things to awake to righteousness and to life. 74 B's. B-E, apostrophe S. Be exceeding glad. Be reconciled to a brother. Be perfect. Be wise as serpents. Be harmless as doves. Be ready for Christ's coming. Be content with your wages. Be merciful as God. Be like faithful servants. Be thankful. Be at peace among yourselves. Be patient towards all people. We could go on and on. Be no partaker of sin. I'm just going to read some of the headings. 74 of those. 30 be nots. Be not like the hypocrites in prayer. Be not afraid of men. Be not of doubtful mind. Be not many teachers. Be not afraid of terror. Be not troubled. 14 bewares. Beware of false prophets. Beware of people. Beware of leaven. Beware of hypocrisy. Be aware of covetousness. Beware of scribes. All the way through. 4 things to believe. The gospel, God's existence on Jesus Christ, and God's rewards and diligent seek. God rewards diligently seeking. 1 thing not to believe. 2 classes to bless. 3 things to cast out or away. 2 classes to comfort. 6 classes to honor. Fathers, mothers, others, widows indeed, all people, kings and rulers. 5 things to charge. Not talking about a credit card. Charge men to be blameless, the rich to be humble, the rich to trust in God. So on. 5 things to consider, 3 things to continue in, 2 things to covet, 1 thing not to cast away, 2 things to endure, whom to fear. Let me go on down. There's just so many. 10 do's, 10 do nots, 10 things to follow. Things about giving. 100 lets. Let is a commandment. It's an imperative statement. Let your light shine. Let your conversation be yea and nay. Let your enemy have your cloak. Let blind leaders alone. Let everyone deny themselves. 100 of those. And this goes on. 1,050 they've listed. You can't read very far in the New Testament if you have a heart for God and not be convicted about something you need to shore up in your life. How about this one? Forsake not. The gathering yourself together as a manner of some is. Talking about church assembly. And so much more as you see that they're approaching. For if we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. To skip church and not become part of the church, according to the word, is willing sin. Catholic churches teaches that, huh? Now, we don't follow these thinking we have to do this perfect to stay in right standing with God. We target being led of the Spirit, and the Spirit of God will give you instruction that lines up with these things and allows you to follow a new commandment versus the old. A new way of life of walking led by the Spirit, led by the Word, led in peace and love versus led by fear of trying not to transgress the old. I'm not afraid tomorrow when I get up I'm going to make a mistake and be thrown into hell. Or that I have to go kill a bunch of animals to make up for it. Now, I could make a mistake I've got to go apologize for. Amen. I may have to guard my heart against unforgiveness or something like that, but I'm not afraid of being thrown into hell if I follow through with obeying God. So I get to enjoy the walk. It gives me the opportunity to have a lifestyle of joy and to go forward with God and forward in the love of God. Did you follow that now? So do you understand the new versus old commandment? The light makes the old new. Verse 9. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brothers in darkness even until now. There are a lot of Christians full of hate towards other people in the church. You know, I see so many postings trashing men like Benny Hinn and other church well-known leaders. And they're being trashed by other Christians. That's a dangerous place. Not only are you not forgiving, you're judging. And you're publicly judging. And I tell you what, that is not according to the Word of God. Now, there are times we have to judge, and the Bible says judge righteous judgment. Amen? But we don't trash. We walk in humility. We walk in love. And it says if you hate your brother, a brother is not your natural brother here. It's talking about a brother in Christ, a brother in the church. It's not even all men. Listen, I don't believe we're allowed to hate anybody. But there's some politicians I strongly dislike. I love them in understanding. I forgive them for their stupidity. But you got to watch how your attitude is reflected toward brothers in Christ. The reason is because the same blood that cleansed you cleansed them. For you to hate a brother is to judge a brother is not cleansed and the blood didn't work on them. You're judging the blood as an ineffective tool. It's amazing how quick we usually are to forgive ourselves for mistakes, but how much trouble we have forgiving somebody else. He that loveth his brother, love there is the word agapeo. It's the verb form of agape. In other words, there's got to be an action to your love. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. I want to stay in the light. And we do not understand or realize how much unforgiveness or strife. Amen. Vindictiveness steals the light from us. In fact, if you ever feel like there's a time you're not hearing God very well, Go find somebody to bless. See if it didn't reactivate the light in your life. Find an opportunity to minister. Bless somebody, pray for somebody, do something. What are you doing? You're acting in love, and it's going to help bring light back into your focus. And, oh, I love this. And there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Now you talk about a powerful verse. That if we'll become a person that walks in love, you bless. It's a love verb. It's a verb form of love. If you'll learn to bless the brethren, you stay in the light. And as long as you stay in the light, you won't stumble. So it requires blessing the brethren and obedience to the leading of the Spirit. I got to have it. Are you getting anything out of this tonight? Verse 11. We're going to stop with this verse tonight. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness is blinded his eyes. He doesn't even know he's blind. Does not know he is blind, because hate has blinded his eyes. You've heard of blind rage. There's a place to make us mad and he just do stupid stuff. So many people, I've witnessed so many people that have said, oh, I received Jesus, but I just can't forgive this guy. Well, you may have to. Not only may have, you do have to. And if it's nothing else, sincerely saying, God, I do my best to speak. I forgive them. Help me in this forgiveness process. Because many times forgiveness is more than just a one statement. It's a process of maintaining that attitude until the hate or the anger or the hurt or whatever it might be is lifted off of you by the anointing. And there's probably very few people, if any, that have gotten saved, have not had to deal in areas of strong forgiveness. Because we've all been wronged by somebody. Amen. But praise God, if you'll step into it, this is a supernatural principle. If you'll be determined to love the brethren, to forgive, to refuse to hate, light will be released in your life. And it's worth it to me never to stumble. It says in 2 Peter chapter 1, talking about the stairway to agape, adding to your faith, patience to patience, you know, faith, virtue, virtue, patience, all the way through, ends up with agape. You're going through that. When you get to verse 10, it says, if you do this, you'll never fall. So stumbling and falling would be the same. He says, if you walk in this light, you'll not stumble. And if you walk in love, you'll not stumble. It's the same thing. God's drawing us into this love lifestyle. Next week, we're going to go into, I think, a very valuable lesson on fatherhood, spiritual fatherhood. And we're going to clear up some verses maybe you struggled with in the past. Amen. Father, we ask you to seal this word in us, cause to be people that walk in the fullness of your light and love. We thank you, we give you praise, in Jesus' name, so be it. Amen. And I need somebody to remind me what verse...